John Brown's body lies a moldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory,
welcome to War of the Rebellion, Stories of the Civil War. I am your host, Leon, and this is a reading of the regimental history Under the Maltese Cross, Antietam's Appomattox, The Loyal Uprising in Western Pennsylvania. 1861 to 1865, Campaign's 155th Pennsylvania Regiment, narrated by the rank and file. And we are picking up our very last contributed articles by surviving comrades, part 12, titled The 155th in War and in Peace, A Roll Call of Survivors, by Private John T. Porter, Company H. For true American manhood and grit, the boys of Western Pennsylvania, composing the 155th Pennsylvania Volunteers, afterwards known as the Pearson Zouaves, made for themselves a glorious record in the Civil War. At the time of enlistment, they were in the blossoming season, a great majority being between 16 and 20 years of age. Their immediate exposure to the severe hardships of military life, within a week from their departure as recruits from Pittsburgh, made them only a hardier fruit when ripened into veteran soldiers. The numerous cases of promotion in the military service, as well as the prominent careers in civil life of many of this regiment after the close of the war, indeed makes its record most remarkable. Thus, from a lieutenant it produced before the close of the war, a brevet major general in its colonel, A.L. Pearson. From second lieutenant, for gallant and meritorious conduct on many battlefields, ending with Appomattox, George M. Loughlin was breveted major, and very important and conspicuous duties on the staff of General Griffin, commanding 5th Corps at Appomattox, were assigned to him on that eventful occasion. General Griffin's troops fired the last shots at the enemy, and received the flag of truce at Appomattox. Captain John Ewing of Company H was successfully promoted to major, lieutenant colonel, and finally breveted colonel for gallantry in the field. Captain John A. Klein of Company K has the same record of promotions for gallantry as was awarded Colonel Ewing, and was in command of the regiment at Five Forks and at Appomattox. Lieutenant E. A. Montooth of Company A, promoted to adjutant of the regiment, was breveted major for gallantry displayed on many campaigns, ending with Gettysburg. Lieutenant Samuel Kilgore of Company D was promoted to captain, and also breveted major for special gallantry. George F. Morgan of Company E, now of Chicago, was promoted successfully, sergeant of Company E, sergeant major, then second lieutenant, and captain of Company G, and finally, brevet major, for bravery while serving on the staff of brevet Brigadier General A.L. Pearson, in command of the skirmish line at Appomattox. Sergeants John H. Irwin of Company C and William Shore of Company D, after being promoted to sergeant major of the regiment, were each promoted to lieutenancies of their companies. John T. Denniston, private of Company E, was promoted to second and first lieutenant successfully, and later was appointed with the rank of captain to the staff of Brigadier General Thomas A. Rowley. Colonel E. J. Allen, the organizer of the 155th Regiment and its commander in the Antietam and Fredericksburg campaigns, although compelled by disabilities, contracted in the service to tender his resignation, earned the highest credit for the soldierly qualities he developed out of the raw material, both officers and men, who made up the regiment in Pittsburgh. The conduct of Colonel Allen in leading the regiment in its baptism of fire in the disastrous Battle of Fredericksburg is part of the history of the Civil War. It made a name for Colonel Allen as a brave and accomplished soldier, and immortalized the regiment as appears in the official reports. Although unable to assume command, he was present with the regiment at Gettysburg. From Captain of Company C, John H. Kane, after a service and most honorable record at Antietam, Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, and Gettysburg, earned promotion successfully as Major, Lieutenant Colonel, and Colonel. George Booth, of Company D, was promoted from private to sergeant in the United States Signal Corps, Army of the Potomac. In the walks of civil life, the promotions to honorable positions of survivors of the regiment were numerous. General Pearson and Major Montooth were each called by the citizens of Allegheny County soon after the war to serve as district attorney, Major Montooth being later the candidate of Western Pennsylvania counties for the Republican nomination for governor. He died on February 9th, 1898. His great popularity would have undoubtedly secured him high political honors had his life been spared. Years ago, when it was an unquestioned honor to serve in the legislature of Pennsylvania, Colonel John Ewing, Lieutenant R.B. Brown, Major George F. Morgan, Sergeant John H. Kerr of Company I, and Michael B. Lemon of Company E, of the 155th Regiment, ably served their constituents in that body. The two most distinguished color sergeants of the regiment, Thomas C. Lawson of Brookville, Pennsylvania, and the late Dr. Thomas J. Marlin of Tarkio, Missouri, selected the medical profession as their life calling at the close of the war, and each in turn attained high rank for their skill and unblemished characters in their respective communities. Captain John A. Cribbs, of Company G, during his Army service, was so impressed with the high character and good example of his comrades in the 155th that, on return to civil life, he entered the ministry. He is now enjoying the deserved esteem and respect of all denominations in his field of labor. Zelenopol, Butler County, Pennsylvania. The legal profession attracted three well-known privates, L.E. McPherson of Company C, for a long time color corporal, has been for many years a solicitor of the Pullman Company in Chicago, John H. Kerr of Company I, and Charles F. McKenna of Company E, have won enviable reputations for character and ability as members of the Pittsburgh Bar, and other positions of honor in civil life, the latter being especially honored by President Roosevelt with the appointment of federal judge of Puerto Rico, which, after 3 years' service, he resigned to resume the practice of his profession in Pittsburgh. Of other important pursuits and callings since the war, held by members of the regiment, may be mentioned Major George M. Laughlin, Managing Director of Jones and Laughlin's American Steelworks, Pittsburgh. Robert P. Douglas of Company E was long manager of the Eliza Furnace Works, of this steel company, and subsequently a member of the Pittsburgh Board of Assessors. The late Harry M. Curry, Corporal of Company F, was, at his death, treasurer of the Carnegie Steel Company. Though not quite so profitable a position, for 10 years Comrade Curry served as treasurer of the 155th Pennsylvania Regimental Association, and ever evinced great interest in their reunions until his death. In casting about for a successor to the exalted and important position of treasurer to the 155th Regimental Association, Major George M. Laughlin was the unanimous choice of the association. Notwithstanding his many other business cares and engagements, he has given the duties of the office the required attention for several years past. Corporal Samuel W. Hill, of Company F, since the close of the Civil War, rose to the rank of Colonel of the 14th Regimental Pennsylvania National Guard. He rendered most efficient service in representing Governor Hastings in the duties devolved upon him in administering the state relief work during the period of the Johnstown Flood. Sacrificing 4 months, his private business and the performance of these public duties. Major Samuel Kilgore of Company D was elected county and subsequently city treasurer. George Booth, sergeant of Company D, was re-elected several terms city clerk of Pittsburgh, and at the date of his death was serving as director of public charities. The late James P. O'Neill of Company E served on the editorial staff of several papers of Pittsburgh, displaying great ability and capacity as a writer. Captain A. H. Heisley of Company C is a well-known glass manufacturer in Newark, Ohio. Lieutenant John T. Denniston has been for many years auditor of the Union Line, Pennsylvania Railroad. The late George P. Fulton, sergeant of Company E, for a long time president of the Regimental Association, was for many years principal of the Highland Schools, 19th Ward, Pittsburgh. Captain Frank Gilmore, a corporal of Company A, is a successful Ohio River pilot, steamboat captain, and coal operator. Lieutenant E. M. Lee of Company H became a successful merchant in Clarion, Pennsylvania. Sergeant W. A. Craig of Company H conducts a large flour mill at Sligo, Pennsylvania. William P. Ketchum of Company F is located at Clinton, Montana, and is a highly successful mining engineer. Lieutenant, Captain, and Brevet Major George P. McClelland of Company F became a resident of Davenport, Iowa, where he prospered in the lumber business and died on December 27, 1898. Sergeant James B. Palmer of Company C was promoted in December 1862 to the rank of captain and regimental quartermaster. Later, he was promoted to be division quartermaster, serving in the actions of the 5th Corps on the staff of Generals Weed, Gerard, and Griffin, in all campaigns down to and including Appomattox. David P. Allen of Company F has served his adopted state, Nebraska, as Justice of the Peace for many years. Orderly Sergeant Joseph M. Cargo of Company C became a Justice of the Peace in Rochester, Beaver County, Pennsylvania. Corporal Arch N. Ewer of Company G is a prosperous farmer in Cincinnati, Appanoose County, Iowa. The late Noah H. Pangburn of Company E was for many years Burgess of Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Of the surgeons of the 155th Pennsylvania Volunteers, Dr. J. A. E. Reed is still practicing in his home city, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, as also is Dr. W. Stockton Wilson in Newark, New Jersey, and Dr. Elias C. Kitchen in Berks County, Pennsylvania. Dr. Tewksbury, assistant surgeon from July 1864 until muster out, has not been heard of for many years. Major Marshall, in his History of Company K in 1885, gives the doctor's address as Ashley, Pennsylvania. Captain John C. Sweeney of Company D became a resident of Salem, Ohio, where he died in December 1905, much esteemed. Lieutenant Robert Thompson of Company E followed his trade in Pittsburgh until his death. David K. Stevenson resumed his pulpit in the ministry of the M.E. Church in Blairsville and the Blairsville District of Pittsburgh Conference until his death. Jacob S. Friend of the same company is a well-known resident of McKeesport, where he is at present to be found in the city assessor's office. Sergeant Jas A. McDowell of Company F, now of Washington, D.C., has been for many years prominent in the Red Cross work under Miss Clara Barton, and rendered efficient service in Cuba. Captain John Markle died a few years ago at his home in Los Angeles, California. He had been a resident of West Newton nearly all his life. Lieutenant Henry A. Breed is a well-known Pittsburgh real estate man. First Sergeant William F. Colner, until his death, was still a resident of Clarion, Pennsylvania, and had been both sheriff and protonotary of Clarion County, and was prominent in business. Captain D. E. Lyon, of Company H, a successful businessman, now a resident of Allegheny, Pennsylvania, for many years has held the position of quartermaster, sergeant of post number 3, Department of Pennsylvania, Grand Army of the Republic. Captain W. E. Allen of Company H is a merchant and resident of Parker's Landing, Pennsylvania, and Lieutenant S. Q. Blair of the same company lived at Evans City, Pennsylvania, and had held responsible public positions until his death. Captain Benjamin P. Kerr of Company B, after the war, was engaged in business in New York, and is at this writing a resident of Sawtelle, Los Angeles County, California. Captain Henry W. Grubbs of Company B was located in Chicago when he died a few years ago. Lieutenant John M. Campbell of Company A, after his return, became a bank official in Pittsburgh, and many years ago went west and located in Nevada, where he became an editor. His present location is unknown. Sergeant Milton L. Myers of Company B was for many years previous to his death manager for the well-known Hostetter and Smith Company of Pittsburgh. He died greatly regretted. Major John A. Klein of Company K was until recently located in Bellefonte, Kansas, where he was for many years postmaster, was last heard from at Dodge City, Kansas. Captain Ben Huey of Company K died in Kansas a few years ago, as did also Sergeant and Brevet Major D.P. Marshall and K.G. Fleming, all of the same company in the same state. John Robinson, regimental sutler, was a good enough soldier to go into action with a gun on his shoulder, which he was wont to do, as if not exempt as a non-combatant, when he returned home to Pittsburgh, where he worked as his trade as a compositor, and finally drifted west, where he still edits a paper in Iowa. Private Robert M. Culp of Company B, long the champion old-age survivor of the regiment, died at his residence in Allegheny City, now Northside, at the venerable age of 89. Comrade Culp's great rival for advanced age was Davy Lloyd of Company A, the regimental teamster, who gave up the age contest with the venerable Culp and passed away in his 85th year, in Elizabeth Township, Allegheny County. A photograph of Comrades Culp and J. Milton Hayes of Company A, taken at the Bellevue Reunion in 1907, labeled the oldest and youngest veterans of the 155th, is reproduced in the regimental history. Sergeant John M. Lancaster, who, as orderly sergeant, led Company E in the last battle and on the return march, or muster out, to Pittsburgh, is an esteemed resident, with his family, at Hazelwood, Pittsburgh. A pathetic result of the war was the concussion produced by a comrade's gun in battle, exploding prematurely, almost in the face of Sergeant Lancaster, so injuring his right eye that, after suffering intensely with it for nearly 30 years, to save the sight of the remaining eye, the injured eye was operated on and removed. James B. Richards, of Company E, wounded on the charge of the 18th of June, after the war, married and settled at Brownsville, Pennsylvania, where he died 20 years afterward, as the physician certified from the continued results of his wound. John F. Hunter, Company C, had his right arm amputated from a wound received while serving as orderly to General Humphreys in the Battle of Fredericksburg. He served for many years as street commissioner in Pittsburgh with credit and fidelity. He now lives in Crafton, Pennsylvania, and never misses a reunion of the regiment. Harry F. Weaver, corporal of Company B, who suffered the loss of his foot from wounds received in the storming by the enemy of Little Round Top at Gettysburg, has been for many years active as notary public and auditor and secretary of financial institutions in the city of Pittsburgh. Private William DeWalt of Company A, a well-known businessman, lost his arm from wounds received at First Hatcher's Run in October 1864, and now lives in Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Thomas E. Morgan of Company E has been a successful merchant in Carnegie, Pennsylvania, and having passed through all the stations of S.P. Post, and is still vigorous and hardy. John C. Sias of Company I has been for many years an efficient clerk in the County Commissioner's Office, Pittsburgh. He has been commander of John W. Patterson Post 151, Grand Army of the Republic, and a delegate to every state encampment of the Grand Army of the Republic for many years, by unanimous choice of his post. William B. Ramsey, private of Company K, as holding even the scales of justice as magistrate or justice of the peace at Parker's Landing. Spencer P. Barrett, of the same company, joined the Pennsylvania colonists in Kansas and has sent his wartime picture for this history. Sergeant Arthur W. Bell of Company E was promoted to be first lieutenant of Company G. He was a brave and gallant officer. He died in 1878. Ralph Bradley of Company B is serving in the important office of Meat Inspector of Pittsburgh. Charles A. Walters of Company I, who has a fine record as color corporal, has for many years past been in the foundry and stove business in Allegheny City. Thomas J. Marlin, so long color bearer of the regiment, settled in Tarkio, Missouri, where he acquired a reputation as a skillful physician, and also for his literary effusions. He died at Tarkio in February 1905. John Milton Hayes of Company A has been for 30 years past a mail carrier in the city of Pittsburgh. Casper Ville of Company C, the name of his stepfather, under which he enlisted, on his return to civil life, resumed his family name, Penzel, and has been for many years a successful hardware merchant in Pittsburgh. Sergeant George Hunter of Company D was long foreman of the shoe factories at Riverside and is now living retired on Northside, Pittsburgh. Joseph M. Kiefer of Company H, who is still a great sufferer from wounds received in battle, is in the grocery business in Allegheny City. James J. Carroll, corporal of Company F, has been in the employ of the City of Pittsburgh in the Bureau of Public Works. Colonel E. J. Allen, who contracted permanent disabilities in his military services some years after his return to civil life, was appointed chairman of the Board of City Viewers of Pittsburgh, and filled the position most acceptably for 20 years. He has since been in retirement, but frequently indulges his literary taste, lately publishing a collection of his poems, and recently revising and republishing his sketches entitled the, quote, Oregon Trail, unquote, written 50 years ago for the Pittsburgh Dispatch, at which period Colonel Allen was in the government service in Oregon and Washington territories. Colonel John Ewing, after the war, removed from Clarion, Pennsylvania to Pittsburgh, where he engaged in the wholesale drug business and later in the iron and steel manufactory, from which he retired a few years ago. He now resides in the Shadyside district of Pittsburgh. The thriving village of Bridgeville has two of its most honored citizens survivors of the 155th, the one being Sergeant James A. McMillan, who served throughout the war in Company D with the most enviable record. The other citizen is Richard B. Davis, also of Company D, a prosperous businessman who has never missed a battle from Antietam to Appomattox. John T. Denniston, private of Company E, was promoted to second and first lieutenants successfully, and later was appointed with the rank of captain to the staff of Brigadier General Thomas A. Rowley. Private William J. McKeever, Company F, wounded in battle at Fredericksburg, was, on visiting home by reason of wounds, discharged by United States court on petition of his parents on grounds of his minority. He re-enlisted in 7th United States Infantry and served 5 years, being again wounded in action and honorably discharged with the rank of sergeant. He re-enlisted in 7th United States Infantry and served 5 years, being again wounded in action and honorably discharged with rank of sergeant. He has long occupied a responsible position with the Wholesale House of Thomas C. Jenkins, Pittsburgh. Sergeant James F. Parker of Company C was wounded at Gettysburg quite seriously, but returned from hospital and persisted in serving until the end of the war. He settled in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, and only survived the war a few years, his death being due to the effects of his Army service. There are doubtless numerous other survivors of the 155th whose honorable and successful careers in civil life reflect credit upon the regiment, but their location being unknown, it is impossible to mention them. And that wraps it up for the end of today's. Next week, we will pick up and continue with programs, addresses, reunions, and dedications, Gettysburg 1886 to Fredericksburg 1908, which is really exciting because it's the next chapter in the story that we have for these gentlemen. And it goes into the organization of the 155th Regimental Association and how these guys moved through, how they got their appropriations, how they got their funding. It's really exciting. It's kind of the part where a lot of people with American Civil War history kind of stop at this point. Okay, war's over. Now I want to go back and I want to listen to, you know, things from different battles and different perspective. But as all of us veterans know, and I think as anybody knows, time never stands still. So obviously, one of the things that we want to look at is what happened to these guys afterwards. We got a little brief history of that. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of them working together and how they did that as an association, as well as some brilliant letters that they've included in this history that are from some very famous Civil War folk. General Chamberlain, perhaps. So, very exciting. We'll get to all of that in time, but we'll also cover all of their reunions, how they got started, what they actually had at their reunion. But I am going to read kind of like their pamphlets that they would produce for the reunions. And we won't spend too much time on them because it's very simple, but it's very interesting to think in your head, in your mind, in your mind's eye, right? Kind of what this looked like while they were all there together. Whether it was just standing around and hanging out or being inside a building, it's pretty great. So it'll be pretty interesting. And of course, if you happen to be in the area for some of these places that they mention, if you want to send a picture to my email as we cover them, if you happen to live down the street from General Humphrey's statue in Fredericksburg, by all means, send us a picture of you in the statue. I haven't gotten out there yet, but I plan to. And, you know, some of these places are just really amazing. I know for absolutely 100%, for anyone in Pennsylvania, I am not only coming to Pennsylvania, I am touring all of the places that these boys came from. So we can take a look at all of their small towns, all of their counties, drive through and take a look at some of these relics that are still standing out there and be like, hey, this is where this company was organized. Here is the town where these recruits are from. That's all in the works. I'm very excited for it. So we'll get into this. We'll get into the letters that are written. Obviously, the association writes letters between them and other interested parties that had to either deal with the Regimental Association, were other soldiers, or were kind of more famous actors within the American Civil War itself that they would reach out to hey, remember us? It's very entertaining. It's very good reading. And I can't wait to show it to you guys. So with all of that being said and done, kind of what's going on in the future, there is one little note that I want to make, which is them talking about Colonel Allen working on his papers, publishing his poems, and publishing his Oregon Trail work. You can read both of those. I think I've published them before, or not published, but I have posted them before in case you wanted to read them. I'm probably going to do it again on the website. So if you want to read, he typed it out, which was really nice. He went from his hand scribed work, typed it out into a book that you can kind of read. It's all done online, so it's really fantastic. You can pick it up and stop whenever you like. It's just one of my favorite parts. I currently live in the area that he adventured to, so it's very interesting for me to read about some of the same places. Some of the same places that he has stood, I have went and stood at. And for my Patreon members, and I'm going to be driving out to the trail that he actually helped build as part of his Oregon Trail adventures, I have desperately looked for his house, but I doubt I'll find it. All right. So this is where normally I would go into the spot in my episode where I would talk about my own show notes that I had written down. But for this, because let's just say that it has gotten larger than I thought it would be as far as what I was planning with the show notes for the end of this episode, that now it is actually large enough to have its own episode, which is 100% related to this. So instead, this is going to be a two-part series, and I'll finish up the other half next week. So essentially, next week's episode is not only going to be a roll call of the survivors, it's going to be how those survivors are still with us today. I think you guys are going to find it pretty fascinating. With that, I will see you next week for the completion of part two of this episode, and take care, my friends. Bye-bye.
Old John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on. John Brown was a hero, undaunted, true, and brave. And Kansas knew his valor when he fought her rights to save. And now, though the grass grows green above his grave, his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on. He captured Harper's Ferry with his 19 men so few, and frightened old Virginia till she trembled through and through. They hung him for a traitor, themselves a traitorous crew, but his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For his soul is marching on. John Brown was John the Baptist of the Christ we are to see. Christ who of the bondman shall the liberator be. And soon throughout the sunny south, the slaves shall all be free, for a soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For a soul is marching on. That he heralded, he looked from heaven to view on the army of the Union with its flag red, white, and blue. And heaven shall sing with anthems o'er the deed they mean to do, for a soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of freedom, then strike while strike ye may, the death blow of oppression in a better time and way. The dawn of old John Brown has brightened in the day, and his soul is marching on.